Last time we discussed the din of kfiyas hamita for an avel and the requirement of yeshiva gabe karka, let's address for a few moments the Tisha B'Av angle of that and how that relates to the halachas that we have in Avelus. There is a sheet in Tanayim, a Tanis Daf Kavav and Beis and Daf Lamed, sheet of Rebbe Yehuda, that there is a chiyuv of kfiyas hamita on Tisha B'Av, that every person must bend their beds, turn over their beds, on Tisha B'Av. But we don't paskin like that, Lalacha. We paskin like the Chacham against Rabbi Yehuda. There's no such din of kfiyas hamita. Nevertheless, the Mechaber writes in Tavkuf Nun Tesef Gimel, Le'al Tisha B'Av Yomo Yoshvim V'Beis HaKnesses La'aretz Atfilas Mincha, that on the night of Tisha B'Av, the day of Tisha B'Av, we sit La Aretz, we sit on the ground or adjacent to the ground until Tfilas Mincha. And in the Ramah parentheses, V'achshav nogu leishav al sasaleyem yad achar sheyetsu mi beis ha-knesset shachris v'marichim l'kinos ad ma'at kodem chatzos. That we said not at Tfilas Mincha per se, but basically ad chatzos on the ground. Magavar ma'isav this of Katan Gimel, nearly the mutter leishev al asak, the requirement of agave karka doesn't have to be al karka mamish, as the shach we saw in Hilchos Avelos says that it doesn't have to be al karka mamish. We just explained last time what the bases for bimekel about that are. But the Magen Avraham says in the Tisha B'Av context, it doesn't have to be al karka mamish. It's sufficient to sit al asak. The eno ela minog leishev agave karka ayin yoredeya in our simon. That as opposed to the Avelis, where Yeshiva Gabri Karka is Medina, and the parameters, precise parameters may be such as the Machlokas, but the principle of Yeshiva Gabri Karka, at least in certain contexts, is Medina. But on Tisha B'Av, it's only Mimin Haga. The only thing we have in a Gemara about Tisha B'Av is Kriyas Hamita, which is Shita V'Pihuta that we don't pass and like. There's no requirement of Gemara of Yeshiva Gabri Karka. That's a Minhag. Since it's a Minhag, you have the license to be more Makal. And l'chachil alav, sitting al asak, or not sitting al karka mamish. And that's the Mishabruah Kos Halacha in Sukkot and Yir Aleph, based on this Magen Avraham, that since it's only Misha Minag, that which is Misha Minag doesn't require Yeshiva al gabe karka mamish. And that's the difference between Tisha B'Av and Avelus, where in Avelus there is a maker that is requiring to be Yeshiva al gabe karka, at least in certain contexts, and that's why it takes more to justify practice of not saying al gabe karka mamish. Shlomo Zalman is quoted in the Alicha Shlomo in Hilchas Bein HaBetzarim as saying along the lines of what we quoted from the Rav that an avel, that the point of Yeshiva gabe karka is just sitting in a different fashion than the norm. Shlomo Zalman said in the context of Tisha B'Av that as long as you sit on a lower stool or lower chair than you normally do, and that's a sufficient kiyum of the minhag on Tisha B'Av, and it doesn't have to be al karka, even that close to karka per se. In the Purim Me'iros that we quoted last time regarding the common practice of being makel not to sleep al karka for an avel, and Piskei Teshuva quoted the Purim Me'iros that against the Chachman Tzvi and others, that allowed the chachila sleeping al garbe, not having to sleep al garbe karka for an avel. So he points out that even though in the avelus context there is a comment to the Ramah, the Ramah Tavkuf Nun Hey says that you should be mitzar yourself in the way that you sleep al el Tisha B'Av, but that's only mimidas chasidus. That's also mimin haga. And not Me'ikar HaDin. So even if we try to be makir to some extent to sleep in a less than comfortable or less comfortable than normal position on Tisha B'Av, that's clearly only Mimin Haga. And presumably, while that could last for a night, the fact that we are of weaker constitution than previous generations, which is part of Me'iros's argument in general, for being makel to allow an avel to sleep more normally, not to have to sleep on the floor, Presumably that's the difference, that Avela Shiva would be for a whole week. And that's an unreasonable demand or expectation for people in a weak generation or weak generations where our constitution is not up to it, supposed to Tisha B'Av, which is one night a year. So then, even there, it's only Midas Chasidus, but there is more reasonable that people should be Mitzara themselves only for that one time. Okay. One of the most noticeable features of the Beis Avel in common perception in the world at large is carving mirrors in a Beis Avel, which if you encounter anyone who doesn't know anything about halacha and ask them, what do you do in a shiva house? That's probably the first thing that comes to mind. But that practice of covering mirrors in a Beis Avel is of very late recorded origin. There was a paragraph in the Drashas of the Chasam Sofer, Chelik Beis, page Shin Pei Zayin, Chelik Beis, page Shin Pei Zayin, the Drashas Chasam Sofer, that connects such a practice of covering mirrors in a Beis Avel to the Yerushalmi, which is parallel to our din of Kviyas Amita. The Bavli refers to, as we noted, Kviyas Amita is reflecting the fact that the Demus Diukno of Etzelem Elokim was snuffed out, and therefore we turn over our beds to commemorate the demise of this Etzelem Elokim, of this Demus Diukno. So the Yerushalmi has a parallel lashon of Hafchu Asar Sur. Turn over literally the middleman, that the bed is kind of the middleman in creation of man, and that represents this state of reacting to a patira of the Etzelem Elokim. So the Chasam Sofer connects this notion of covering mirrors to a form of Hafkua Sarsur akin to Kviyas Hamita. Because the Sarsur also is a reflection of Demus Diukno. Rav Schechter quotes from the Rav this notion of Demus Diukno as well in the context of the meaning of covering mirrors, that we demonstrate the histalka, so to speak, of a Etzelem Elokim. And given that it's connected to Kviyas Hamita, it makes sense that the mirror should be uncovered for Shabbos, just as the Gemara in Kazayin that we saw, that the mitos need to be reconstituted for Shabbos. Not doing so would be a form of velus on Shabbos, form of velus for Hesia, I guess, if there are other people who are present. Rav Avadia has a very different take on this practice of covering mirrors. Shuas Yabi Omer Chelik Dalid Yeredeya Simon Lamed Hey. Yeredeya Chelik Dalid Simon Lamed Hey thinks that the simple reason is because common practice is to daven in the Beis Avel. You're not allowed to daven in front of a mirror, not to think that you're davening in front of your davening to your reflection. So the minhag develops simply as a practicality, not as anything symbolic. But if people are davening in a Beis Avel, then you're not supposed to daven in front of a mirror, so cover the mirrors. In which case, Rav Avadia says, if you're not davening in the Beis Avel, or for that matter, if there are mirrors in a room other than where the Mispalim are davening, then there'd be no basis for covering those mirrors. And he quotes evidence in Tshuva literature to reflect that. But then he quotes from other Tshuvos that in the Beis Avel there are Ruchos, Raos, and Mazikim, and somehow if you cover the mirrors, then you minimize the effect that the Ruchos, Raos, and Mazikim can have on the people in the house. And according to that reason, you would want to cover all the mirrors in the house, irrespective of where people are davening. He also points out that according to the Chasam Sofer's reason of Demus Diukno, of Havchula Sarsor, then it shouldn't be enough to cover the mirror. You should have to turn the mirror upside down, inside out, all around, where possible. And that, he notes, is generally not the common practice. Rosh Dornbach has another explanation as to this minhag. Chayli Beis, Chuvas Vanhagos, Simen Tavkuf Pehei. Chayli Beis, Simen Tavkuf Pehei. That in general, you're not supposed to, men at least, you're not supposed to look at mirrors because Dagadisha. And the coolers are somewhat weak that nowadays, since it's more common for men to look at mirrors, so we're more makel about the Ramah has in Yoredei Akuf Nun Vav. But especially during a time of Avilus, a person should realize that everything is vanity and no one should be concerned with appearance. And therefore, even women who are, generally speaking, permitted to look at mirrors shouldn't be looking at themselves in a mirror because that's not the focus during the week of Shiva. Okay. When Rosh Hashanah was sitting Shiva for his father, I noticed that the mirrors in the house are not covered. So I asked him subsequent to that, why not? They told me that when his mother passed away, and they got back to the Beis Avel, he had the mirrors covered. And his father said to him, that's not our family minhag. So most of our families, it's hard to talk about minhagim for Avelis, because most of the people in my parents' generation never saw their parents sitting Shiva for relatives because their parents were all survivors who lost most of their family well before. So it's hard in many families to talk about family minhagim of Avelis, where you know, my parents' generation never saw their parents practicing Avelis or to have such a tradition. In general, in Poskim, there is evidence that it's hard to talk about a minhag for things that are a lo shliach, but there were Shachnas families in America before the war. Okay, let's move on to Simen Shiva. And I sent you that article from Chakira on the topic of covering mirrors, if that's of interest to you. I'm sorry, you saw it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so let's move on to the din of Tfilit. The Gemara Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph derives from the Pasuk Yecheskel Pe'archa Chavashalecha that only Yecheskel was authorized to wear tefillin when he was an Avel, but everyone else is not authorized to wear tefillin. So when is the Isser of tefillin for an Avel in play? The Gemara tells us on Daf Kafal from an Aleph that two-thirds of the way down, the beginning of the long lines, Tanar Banan, Avel, Gimel Yamar Rishonim, Asur Liyach Tfilin. That the first 3 days, an Avel may not put on Tfilin. Mishlishi Ve'elach, Mishlishi Bechal, Motir Laniach Tfilin. So from day 3 and on, you're allowed to put on Tfilin. Then both Panu Chadashos, Eino Choleis, Divrei Blazer. And if Panu Chadashos come, then you don't take off the tefillin. Meaning, if Panu Chadash is common day 3, you don't take off the tefillin. Sounds like if there are Panu Chadashes before you put on tefillin on day 3, then you don't put on tefillin. Rabbi Shua Omer, Avel Beis Yavim Rishonim Asur Niyach Tefillin. Misheni Visheni Bechlal Motor Niyach Tefillin. So Rabbi Shua says, no, the absolute is only on day 1. From day 2 and on, you're allowed to put on tefillin. Then Baal Panu Chadash is Chaleitz. And if Panu Chadash is common day 2, then you are Cholitz. Ara Masa Meitam de Blazer. So the Gemara took him back and forth. And then the Gemara says, Ula has a compromised position. Halacha Ker Blazer Bechalitzer. Blazer says that if Panu Chadash is common day 3, you're not Cholitz. Halacha Ker Bishua Ba'anacha, that you are allowed to put on Tzilin on day 2. But what does Ula say if Panu Chadash has come on day 2? Tashma, Amar Ula Choleitz U'Maniach Afilu Me'apamim. You do take off the tefillin on day 2 if Panu Chadash has come. And Rava Amar Kemishin Yashav in a Chaletz. Rava says, no, that even on day two, if you put on tefillin, even if Panach Chadash has come afterwards, you're not Chaletz. What is the concern of Panach Chadash? Be it on day three, be it on day two, subject to Rav and Yeshua, that Panach Chadash either prevent you from putting on tefillin, or maybe even cause you to put the tefillin on if Panach Chadash arrive. The Rashi writes, in Bav Panach Chadash, beyond Gimel, that's within Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lazar, but it would be the same on Yom Beis, according to Rabbi Yeshua. In Bav Panach Chadash, beyond Gimel, Panach Chadash is come on day three, Afilu Hachi, Eino Cholis Tefillin. So Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lazar said, you don't take off the tefillin in that case. Afal Gav, Diko Mechash, Dimro Ami Mishnei, Ami Mishon, and Ami Niyach Tefillin. What's the potential concern? You would have thought, according to Rav Lassi, you would have thought, and according to Rishu, it's taka true on day two, because he says you are chalei on day two, Panach Chadash has come. You would have thought that we're concerned about our side. We're worried people will think they weren't with you on day one and day two. So they'll see, if you're putting on tefillin on day three, they'll think that you also put on tefillin on day one and day two. Right, a little bit more explicit in Rashi Ksav Yad. Debal panu chadashos she'einam yodim shekvar avri gabi yom rishonim. It's not that they'll think that you didn't know the halacha, and they'll think that you, in violation of the halacha, put on tefillin on day one, or they do. They won't know where the cheshbon of days is. So they'll think, they'll see you putting on tefillin on day three, and they'll think that it's already day four. They'll think that you're off, they may be off on the cheshbon when they see you putting on tefillin. Meaning, if we tell you to be cholates, it's because they'll think that it's a day that you're supposed to put on tefillin l'chachila, even if other people don't come. But so there's some form of a Maris Ayin consideration, according to Rashi, which is why Panach Chadash may alter the equation. The Ritva says something very different. The Ritva, Emsa Dibor Uparkinan, Panach Chadash Darminan Hacha, Shalo Ba'u Sham Lenache Marashav, that they haven't shown up to be Menachem yet, so they haven't seen the Avel yet. We're talking about people who are capable of being menachem, meaning people whose nechama will have value to the misnachemim, to the avelim. Just like theory of Panach Chadash in Shavu Brachos, to be mechayev Shavu Brachos is people who increase the simcha for the chasam kala. The Chasam Kala haven't yet seen these guests since they got married. Now they come, they increase the Simcha, and therefore that justifies reciting Shavu Brachos in their presence. So too, if an Avel hasn't yet seen someone who's dear to him, so then that creates a new emotional reaction. He hasn't seen this close friend until the third day of Avelis. So that somehow reignites the raw emotion of the Avelis. So those are the Panim Chadashos that prevent putting on tefillin. So just as there's a notion in the Gemara Kos HaPasuk of Achri Saki Yomar, that the initial day of Avelis, and by extension maybe 2 days of Avelis, is a Yomar and incompatible with tefillin, so that emotion is extended by an extra day where Panach Chadash has come, that kind of reignites the emotion of the first day of Avelis. Says the Mordechai, Simin Tav Tav Sadi Dalev, Tav Tav Sadi Dalev, Shmamina, Dafka Din Bo Panach Chadash Eino Cholitz B'Sheni. So we paskin, he says, like Rava, that if you already put on tefillin on day two, then you're not cholef if panim chadash has come. Aval in bo kolim sheniach tefillin. But let's say the panim chadash is there before you put on tefillin to begin with on day two. Ein manich and asheyocha. You're not allowed to put on tefillin until the panim chadash has leave. The dafka kamarava came in sheniach ein cholef b'shvah panim chadash. All Rava said is that if the panim chadash has come after your maniach, you don't take them off. But aval ena maniach kol zman sheyesh am panim chadashos. But if you haven't yet put them on and panim chadashos arrive, then you're not allowed to put on tefillin. Okay. How do we paskin? So if you just look in Hilchos Avelos, you don't get the full picture. All the Mechaber writes over here in Simin Shin Peches is Avel Aser Laniach Tefillin B'Yom Rishon V'Acher Shanei Tzachan V'Yom Beis Mutar Lanichim. We'll come back to that. Period. So an Avel doesn't put on Tefillin on day one. Once it's Shanei, it's on day two, and Avel is allowed to put on Tefillin. No mention of Panim Chadashos, no mention of any restriction on day two beyond waiting for Hanetz. However, if you look in the Mechaber Hilchos Tefillin, Simen Lamed Chesef Hei, there the Mechaber writes, Avel B'Yom Rishon Asur L'Neach Tefillin, so far so good. Mikan Ve'Ela Chayev Afilu Bo Panim Chadashos. So here there's a reference to Panim Chadashos. Here the Mechaber writes that after day one, you're mechuyev to wear tefillin, even if panim chadashos come. So that doesn't sound like Rava. At least doesn't sound like the Mordechai's read of Rava. Because the Mordechai's read of Rava was only, which is the simple reading of Rava, kevin sheniach shoven acholitz. Once you put it on, you don't take it off. But if panim chadash has come before you put it on, you do take it off. You don't put it on yet. So that's not reflected in the Mechaber.
Why
is
that the simple
reading of Rava?
It doesn't say a case of panim chadash has come before.
But that's going off of the previous lines are about panim chadash. Then the Gemara asks, Ibaruhu, the Sheinu, it's cholitz. Cholet means if Panim Chadash has come. That's the whole context of the Gemara leading up to here, right? So then the Gemara says, Yibayluhu, b'shein yilu'la cholet alayna cholet, meaning, if Panim Chadash has come, are you cholet or not? Tashma, amr'u'la cholet amaneach hafilu me'a pa'amim. Tanami hachi, Yehuda ben Tema, amr cholet amaneach hafilu me'a pa'amim. That if Panim Chadash has come, you take it off and then you put it on again. Rava Amar, no, Kevin Shiliach, why don't you put it on? Shovein Echoletz, even if Panam Chadash has come.
Yeah, no? Why does it mean that Rava Amar is called that if Panam Chadash is already there, they don't
put it on? It's Kevin Shiliach. You're more than talking
about the other case.
Why does Rava Amar only say Kevin Shiliach?
Why does Rava Amar not say it in the other case?
In the context of Panam Chadash, why don't you already put it on so that even if Panam Chadash has come, you don't take it off?
The Gemara doesn't talk about any of the case at all. Panam Chadash is
okay, it's not a rash and tussle in the gray either, but okay, I mean, that is, presumably that is how the Rambam learned the Gemara. Because the Rambam doesn't have the riff, and the Rambam have no, do not paskin any relevance of Panim Chadash as halacha. I would have assumed that the simple reading of Gemara is Kevin Sheinia Shavina Cholet, but if Panim Chadash has come, then ain't a maniach, because it's only Kevin Sheini Asher Ben Echolitz. Okay, look, it is Machlokes Rishonim, right? I would have assumed the simple reading, like the other Rishonim, which is how Rashi tells the Gargan Rava, that seems to be Rashi tells us learned as well. But that is correct, that the Mechaber's Pesach here, not mentioning Panim Chadashos, seems to reflect the riff in the Rambam. The Rambam, Perek Daled, Lachatas, only asks tefillin. We saw this Rambam last time in the context of Kviyas Hamita, where the Rambam has tefillin and Kviyas Hamita in the same breath. That was the Asagas Arayvid. How does the Rambam know that Kviyas Hamita is only on day one? But tefillin, we well know why it's only on day one. So the Rambam, Perek Daled, Lachatas, says that the Yisur tefillin is on day one, and there's no mention of any restriction beyond that, and any different din in the context of Panim Chadasha. So presumably, the Rambam read the Gemara like Moshe is saying that there's no Kinnishin Yeh Shavim Cholitz doesn't mean that if you wear Maniach, you can't be Maniach just because Panim Chadasha is coming. The Ran, there is bother, the Ran in Sukkah, Daf Yud Aleph from the Beis B'Daf Be'Rif. The Ran is bothered within the Rambam and the Rif, not with that line of Rava per se, but in general, he says, and the Ramban in Torah Sabayis has this as well, that the Rif of the Rambam must have understood that the din of the Wee Paskin and Avil can't wear tefillin on day one and part of day two. So part of day two means a night. And that's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch. We pass in Shulchan Aruch. We'll talk about it in a few moments. That from Netzan on, you can wear tefillin. For the Rambam, it sounds like even before Netzan, you put on tefillin. Whenever you put on tefillin normally, even before Netzan, if you're down Vasik and you're putting on tefillin before Netzan, that would also be mutter. Because the only restriction on day two is at night. The Rambam can't deny the fact that the Gemara says that there's a semblance of the restriction on tefillin on day two, right? There is Beis Yamim Rishonim, so Machlokes is Gimel or Beis, but it's at least Beis. The Rambam can't deny that. So the Ramban writes in Toras Adam, and the Ram says, Al Rif, it must be the Rambam, the Rif understood that the Isser on day two was only on night. And since on night we don't wear tefillin anyway, in practice, there's no real application. But the rhymes as a flip side of that is that why do you express it that way? If it's if lemaisa we don't wear tefillin at night anyway, and there's no real application of the fact that you don't wear tefillin at night at day two, so why is it represented as an avil zaser the first 2 days? And that he doesn't have a good answer to. He leaves that as a ein mechuvli within the Rambam and the Rif, why the Gemara would have presented it in that way. But again, the Rambam and the Rif presumably would allow putting on tefillin even from Alos. Whenever the earliest time you put on tefillin in the morning is, even before Nates, that would be mutter. The Pesach of the Mechaber, even though the Mechaber doesn't paskin Panu Chadashos, but he does paskin like the Rush, that you don't wear tefillin until Nates. The Rush's understanding of the Gemara is that it's usher on day two, even a little bit of the first day, meaning before Nates, so you should only put on tefillin after Nates. So that is the psak of the Mechaber. In the Sefer Tziyunei Halacha, he writes that when Rav Yashiv was in Avelis, when Rav Yashiv sat Shiva for his daughter, he all week long, as was his normal practice, he davened Vasikin, but in day two, he dived in after Vesikin because not to put on tefillin before Nates. And the author of the Tziyunei Halacha points out that Reb Chaim Kanievsky was knowing that way as well, that Chaim always dives Vesikin, but the exception was day two of Avelis, Reb Chaim would dive in later because he couldn't put on tefillin before Nates. And that is our psak, Rambam Rif notwithstanding, that's the psak of Mechaber based on the Rush. However, Mishabura points out, Magad Ram points out over there, that you should be machmir for the Mordechai and for that understanding of Rava, that Panim Chadasha is relevant. The Mishnah Berurah writes, Sifkat and Kaf, Simulam Achas Sifkat and Kaf, Achronim Maski, De'ein Laniach Bifneyem Tfilin Ad She'yelchu Lehem. That you shouldn't put on tefillin in the presence of Panim Chadashos on day two until they leave. Ela de'ein choleitz im hiniya koren shabo Panim Chadashos. If you already put it on before Panim Chadashos come, then you don't take it off. But if Panim Chadashos beat just a bunch, then you can't put on tefillin in the presence of Panim Chadashos. That's the Magid of Ram, that's the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Achronim, and that's his recommendation. But there's Shulchan writes over here that he hasn't observed people being careful about this. Especially in Avelis, it's often lo re'inu ein araya. Not everyone knows what shaila to ask, not everyone knows Hilchas Avelis, and if you're in a situation of being in Avelis, Rachman Litzlan, you're not always fully conscious of all the details of proper practice. So it's a little harder to talk about what we see observed doesn't necessarily mean because we don't see it, that is not correct. But it is correct, yeah.
Mordechai was saying that if Panim Chadashos come before you put on tefillin,
right,
and if Panim Chadashos leave, you still don't put on tefillin, right?
He says, Einu maniach kol zman sheyesh am panim chadashos. But it sounds like once the panim chadashos leave, then you do put it on.
Oh, that's like
the
Mishnah.
Mm-hmm. But Rabbi really points out that that's correct to be choshesh for the Mordechai and the din of panim chadashos, that on the second day of Avelis, an avel should be makbid to put on tefillin before anyone comes, is not to run into this problem of Panim Chadashos. When I was sitting shiva for my mother-in-law, Shalom, I told my father before the morning of the second morning of shiva to make sure that we put on tefillin before anyone opens unlocks the front door. Make sure that no one beats us to it. Put on tefillin before any Panim Chadashos potentially should come. So if you don't let anyone in the house before you put on your tefillin, that should solve the problem. And the Tzion HaHilachi writes that he asked Rav Yashiv, why are people seemingly not good about this? And Rav Yashiv told him that not everybody who comes is a Panim Chadashos. A Panim Chadashos is someone who adds to the emotion. So Stam, someone comes in that you don't care about, that wouldn't necessarily be Panim Chadashos. I saw in Rabbi Simcha Bonim Cohen's book, he quotes this from the Tzion HaHilacha, and he says he doesn't understand. Isn't the reason for Panim Chadashos where Rashi writes Marisayim? So that's Rashi, but as we pointed out, the Ritva says otherwise, that it's the same Panim Chadashos as the Shavar Brachos, that it's someone that adds to the Simcha there and adds to the Avelis here. So then Rav Yashiv's answer, in theory, is in line with that Ritva. In practice, it's hard to figure out who exactly has what, just like by Shavar Brachos. In general, common practice is to recite Shavar Brachos if anyone new comes, even if that person doesn't necessarily add to the Simcha so much, because everyone adds something. So in Avelis also, any new face on some level may add something. The Gaon, yeah.
We say that the Ritva is the reason for Panim Chadashos.
Yeah.
And that it's kind of like... Channel,
right.
So then, shouldn't that be like the thought to say for the Mordechai? Then, like, if it's like really like the reincarnation of the first day.
It's for the time that he's there. You know, the first day is objectively the first day, and the second day. So when the Panim Chadashos are there, then that reignites the emotion. But once he leaves, so that it's not the same as the first day. Okay. The Gaon here in Sukkot and Vav is Mitzayin, the Yerushalmi that the Ramban has, that at least the Yerushalmi within one day, has a din of panim chadashos is called shiva. So that's not in the Bavli. You know, we only have enough luck as two or three, but the Yerushalmi has that day that panim chadashos, the din of panim chadashos is called shiva, but that's not our practice.
Where's the
girl? Here in Sifkatan, in Simon Sifkatan Vav, in Simon Lamaches in Urachayim. Okay. There are two formulations as to the nature of the Isser Avil B'Tfilin. In the Tziyun HaYalach, so he quotes from Yashas Shirim, Pasul Nafkamina, which we'll leave for now, but not necessarily. Rashi in Sugas on the Avav HaMabez has the following Lashon. The Avil B'Olal B'Afar Karno, Afar Karno Rosho, the aims at the Erlet Tefillin. That the Chisaron of an Avil wearing Tefillin is Tefillin Halacha as opposed to an Avelos Halacha. Because the Avil is in such a state, it's not right for the Tefillin to be placed on the head, on the body of an Avil. So it's a Chisaron mitzad the Tefillin, not mitzad the Avil. As opposed to Rashi and Sukkah, Kafei Mebeis, that is a lashon of Lav Bar Pe'erhu, Pe'erhu Chavish Halacha, that the Avel is Lav Bar Pe'er, so the Chisar is mitzad him. So you can take a look whether any of these nafkamina they discuss are, you know, fully compelling. But either way, that is a slightly different perspective. Is it that it's not Pe'er for the Tefillin, or the Avel is Lav Bar Pe'er? Piskei Tshuva here quotes a Maharitatz. Maharitatz was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef, who I believe was in Constantinople. So he quotes over here, Sifkatan Aleph, Ayin Berheitev Archaim Lamaches, Shekasa Shem Maharitatz, the Chidush of Perik Ezo Neshech. So I confess I never looked the Maharitatz up inside until now. But I was wondering, what's that to do with Ezo Neshech? The answer has absolutely nothing to do with Ezo Neshech, but in the middle of his condition in Ezo Neshech, he has a siman that he writes, my son passed away, and here are a few shaylos and chidushim, hilchos avelos, that came up during that week. So it's printed in this condition of Ezo Neshech, but it has absolutely nothing to do with Ezo Neshech. The quotes over here, from the Maritats, the davka yom ha-misa shehu yom ha-kvura pater mitfilin yom isha. That this din and an avil doesn't wear tefillin and yom rishon, that's only if it's yom hamisa, which is yom hakfura. Aval kishamisa yom acher, or should be yom echer, vakfura yom acher, chay betfillin afilu biyom rishon. So the Maritat says, the Maritat presents this as a question, that he's the mesupik, whether this is correct, but he raises a question that maybe the isser of an avil tefillin is connected to Avelos Yomishon Daraisa, because if it wasn't for Avelos Daraisa, what right do you have to suspend the Mitzvah Daraisa Tefillin? So if it's connected to Avelos Yomishon Daraisa, then that's only if Yomisa coincides with Yom HaKvura. He writes that his son passed away on a Thursday, and the kfur was Thursday night, which is already halachically Friday. So his mesupik, whether he should wear tefillin the following morning, is that considered to be a velus yom rishon? So he has the following cheshbon. How do we know that an aval doesn't wear tefillin b'yom rishon? Pe'erchu chavish alecha. That you, Yechesko, don't wear tefillin, but every other aval does. So we're learning out from Yechesko. So who's talking to Yechesko? Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Yechesko that everyone else is asur to wear tefillin. So does that make sense that Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Yechesko that everyone else is asur to wear tefillin during the time that avails is only the Rabbanan? Or if Kadosh Baruch Hu is talking, we're talking on the Raisa level, that everyone else doesn't wear tefillin when there's such a thing as avails min haTorah. If that's the case, then all the other things we're going to have from Yechesko should be the same thing. So you should say that the Isser of Tisporas should only be, or Tisporas that we learned from Bnei Aaron, that also should only be during Yom Rishon of Avelis. And that's clearly not the case. So he says no, that everything else, it's all transposed. It's Gein Deraisa, that the Avelis Deraisa is on day one. And called the Tikkun Rabbanan again, the Raisa Tikkun. And so the Misakan, an extension of those Nihuga Velas for the rest of Shiva. But that only makes sense, called the Tikkun Rabbanan, if it doesn't interfere with the Din Raisa. But when it comes to Tvelin, it's going to interfere with the Din Raisa. So they wouldn't have extended the Isser of wearing Tvelin on day one beyond day one. And even Talmud Torah, so that's different because you can be Yosei Talmud Torah with other forms of Talmud Torah that are mutarim for an Avel, Farm Harayim, etc. That's the Maritatz's argument, or Safek at least, that maybe this din of Avel Yom Rishon Yom Kippur Tefillin is limited to where Avel Yom Rishon Deraisa or Yom Nisan and Yom Kippur coincide. Dr. Ravavi here, he's not working with that. The Gemara. That is part of the Dagon Rav was addressing. The Dagon Rav is coming from the other, from the opposite perspective. The Dagon Rav would say, well, let's see the Dagon Rav first, I guess. But, okay, let's see the Dagon Rav first, then we'll come back to Moshe. So the Dagon Rav writes, אבל החדש בשביל זה שיעמוד שבנחס תפילים ביום כפורה שאין לי יום מיסה אין המוכרח. הגם שהרש בקסר שם השם הריף שאין יום מישן דוח יום תפשני אם אין יום מיסה יום כפורה אם כן יקלה מהמר קו החומר שלא ידחה מיסה תפילים. אבל אין לזה יורד דרכו שאפילו הוא יום כפורה לכל עשר בתפילים. It must be that even if you hold Avelis יום מישן דרייסת יום מיסה יום כפורה, but still, Yom Kippur L'chud is Asa B'Tfilin. Why? Derei Dan Yom Shmur Krobe in a Minot Torah, Kamo Yom Kippur. No one disagrees with the fact that there is an Isser of for an Avos Word Tfilin on the day of Shmur Krobe. Whenever he finds out Tosh Loshim that he's an Avos. And that's clearly only Din Derabanan. No one would say there's a Veilus Derais in that situation. So anyway, the slices says the Dagon Rav, you have to acknowledge that there is a situation where there's an Isser of Avo wearing tefillin b'yom rishon, even if it's not Yom Nisa Yom Furu, even if it's not a Yom Rishon D'Araisa. Uh, Yeah, all right. Okay. To that, the Dibre Seferim quotes from the Agalos of Baruch Frankel Tolmim, in Rebbe Baruch, that that's not necessarily the strongest right against the Maritats, because maybe Bach Rizalki Omar, so then there is a stronger Meriris than Yom Shmura Krova, even though it doesn't really cut it, because the whole point of the Maritats is it has to be Yomisa the Yom Kruah, because otherwise what license is there in the Hechitesi that Kadosh Baruch Hu would have indicated to Yecheskel that in such a situation, over Tfilah. So very good, it's a super Achmitzaki Yomar, but it's still not Avail Seymish of the Rises. I'm not sure how that really solved the problem for the Dag Levav against the Maritats. Moshe is asking the other direction, that you have to acknowledge that according to Efter Rishonim, going to after Rishonim, Avail Seymish of the Rabbi, he's not working with those Rishonim. So, if you assume that that's a Psak and Mechab as well, that avails the mission of the Rice, even though we discussed at the beginning, that's not necessarily Bechreyach, that is a Psak and Mechab through two dais in two places, and it's unclear what his bottom line is. But even if you assume that for the Mechab, that's true, but for those who follow the Ramah, maybe even the Mechab, that there is no avails the mission of the Rice, so then the Maritats' argument doesn't really do much in practice. Rav Avadia, who is a little bit more partial to the Maritats, does quote some Rishonim that he thinks are mashma, that there is a connection between Avil Yomishim Deraisa and the Yisrit Filin Biomalf, beyond the Rashba that the dog we've ever quoted. He has a Ra'ah and a Ritva and a Balitr, so he thinks that there are Rishonim that have such a mashmas. But Lamaisa, Mishabrua Paskin, Simila Machas, Kazin Tazayin, against the Maritats. That is, among Ashkenazim, generally common practice, consistent with the fact that the Ramah paskins that even Avil Siyam Rishon is the Rabbanan. The Minigan Warriors is like the Maritats. And that's a Psaki of Yitzchak Elchanan in Be'er Yitzchak Tzimelam Ibeis, also like the Maritats. And the Chayavim writes that you should put on until in below bracha. So that's a little bit of a curious compromise, because it's not a matter of safek chiyuv and safek bracha, but it's a matter of safek iser. So you could say that if there's a safek with a mechuyv and a mitzvah, but do without a bracha. But here it's not just a safek chiyuv, it's also a safek iser, and which one wins out? So to put on tefillin without a bracha doesn't solve the suffix iser problem. It's not a totally smooth solution. I saw in the Sefer Pnei Baruch, he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman, that the Midag in Yerushalayim was to be choshesh for the Maritats and to put on tefillin b'yom rishon without a bracha with a tanai. That if you're mechuyev, so you're doing a l'shem mitzvah, and if you're not mechuyev, then you're not doing the L'shem Mitzvah. And that's where Vavadya's psak, again, for Vavadya makes more sense, because at least as a Svardi, you give more credence to the position that Avil Siyam Rishon D'Oraisa. But that's where Vavadya's psak to wear tefillin b'yom rishon without a bracha, b'tzina. And Rabbi Karp quotes is also based on a ma'aseh of Shmuel Salant to put it on b'tzina without a bracha. But again, it's a little hard to understand how that solves the problem, given that we're talking about a suffix iser, and putting on mitzvah doesn't remove the possibility of violating the iser. Rabbi Karp quotes that Rav Yashiv said that the midrash is not like the Maritats, but Rav Yashiv himself put on tefillin b'yomishon b'tzina b'lo bracha. However, the Tzinei Halacha writes that when Rabbi Tzinei Eliyashiv passed away, their son, Rav Moshe Eliyashiv, was going to put on tefillin b'tzina b'yom rishon, and his father told him not to do so because that's an iser, and our practice is not like the Maritats. So the Tzini Halacha he was also aware of the first representation that Rav Yasha wants to put on tefillin, and he tries to explain that Rav Yasha wants it himself, but he must have held subsequently that wasn't a appropriate anhaga in general, and that's why he even told the son not to. Okay, in practice, this is very rare in America to have this kind of a situation, because it's not often that you have it's not unheard of, but it's not that frequent that you have a Yomisa, a Yom Kruah, you have the Kruah on the Yomisa with enough time to put on tefillin. You could have it with my mother, Lashalom, passed away on a Motzei Shabbos overnight, and the Levi was 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. So it does happen if you have a petir at night and then kruah the next morning. So you knew the situation. It's not unheard of, but more often than not, you don't have yomisa corresponding with. Correct. And say it's not. What I mean to say. It's often on separate days. It's usually on separate days. I'm sorry?
The double umbrella corridor case of Mace Vayomim Nikra Lila, which I guess is not common.
Mace Vayomim Nikra Lila is not common, right? I'm sorry. I tell you, right. What I meant to say is that it's not common to have it. Scratch that. What I meant to say is it's not common to have a situation where you would have a petira balayla, and then you would have a kruah before shachris. I'm sorry? But then you would not have a chiyuv tefillin because that's Yom Rishon.
No, but I'm saying, but isn't that then the case of the Yom
Kippur? The case of
the
if you... Right, if you have a Kura and the... The kruah is a different day than the misa, so then we assume that that's considered to be avil yom rishon. That's considered to be yom rishon. We have to put on tefillin according to Maritati. We put on tefillin, right? Okay, so I'm not sure what I meant to say. Forget that. Okay. Okay. Let's. Should we begin kibbutz? Maybe we'll stop here. Yes, maybe we'll stop here, and then we'll do kibbutz tomorrow. So it looks like I hope to be here in person tomorrow. We'll try for 3:30. I probably have to leave around 4:30. Okay? Great.